I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to confess our sins to the Lord this morning. This is a time to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you. And we are going to look at 1 Corinthians 13, this description of love. We're continuing through with each of these phrases. Verses 4 through 7. The Word of God says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Amen. So here we come to the two phrases in verse 4. Love does not parade itself, and the phrase is not puffed up. That's the focus this morning, which speaks to pride and humility. Some of the translations you'll see will just say love does not boast or love is not proud. But I think the New King James gives us the colorful idea, the more illustrative idea that's really behind these words. Love does not parade itself about. Love does not puff itself up, right? It gives us a picture of what pride looks like. It is like the peacock that is strutting about, showing all of its feathers, trying to gain as much attention for itself as possible. That's what pride does. And the puffed up idea is that you are inflated beyond size, beyond normal size that you're really supposed to be. And so think of those that language as we look here at pride. But Paul warns the Corinthians repeatedly about this issue of pride. It occurs, the language of puffed up actually occurs three times in 1 Corinthians. I'll read these examples for you. This is 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Paul says, "Now these things, brethren, I figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." So they were puffed up, the Corinthians were, because they were comparing themselves to each other. That was one way in which they were proud. The next example is 1 Corinthians 5:2, where Paul is warning them about this sin that they're tolerating in the congregation. And he says, "You are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you." So Paul says, where was the humility for this sin? Where was the mourning? You're proud, and yet this is going on among you. What reason do you have for pride? He uses the word again in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. He says, "Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." There it appears again. And you notice in chapter 8, verse 1, he brings it up before he explains something. And he just throws it in. He says, I'm gonna say something. I'm going to say that we have knowledge about these things. But wait, don't get puffed up as I say this. That's the danger. I'm about to tell you the knowledge we have, but there was a danger in presenting that. And so, brothers and sisters, these same dangers, these same snares that the Corinthians fell into are very possible to happen amongst us. We could be puffed up by comparing ourselves to one another. We could be proud about the state of our church when, in fact, we ought to be mourning over the state of our church at times. And we could be proud about our knowledge. All of these snares exist. We need to be on guard for them as Paul brought these things out to the Corinthians. So we know that pride is a recurring danger, a recurring temptation for each one of us. And I've said before that the gospel of Jesus Christ itself is the nuclear bomb against our pride. It is supposed to have that effect upon our pride. If we are taking it seriously, what does it say about you? What does the gospel say about who you are? Well, the good news says that there is something very wrong with you, that you are very much in need of salvation. Your sinful condition is something that you cannot remedy on your own. You cannot pay the debt of your sin. You're dead in trespasses and sins apart from the regenerating work of the Spirit. And so from the very beginning of the Christian life, when we confess that Jesus is Lord and that He rose from the dead and that He saves us from our sins, we confess our helplessness to save ourselves. Do we then ever move from that position, from that basic posture of crying out to God to save us? Do we begin the Christian life as beggars of grace and then become these princes of pride later on? No. Brothers and sisters, we stay beggars of grace from beginning to the end of the Christian life. And we recognize that all good things come from above, from the Father of lights. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, what do you have that you did not receive? If we've received all these things, then we have no room for boasting in any of them. We have no reason to compare ourselves one to another and be puffed up in any way. It is unloving to be puffed up, to be proud. And to be puffed up and proud, it stifles our love. It makes it very, very difficult, even impossible for us to love one another. Now, a few weeks ago, I came across this prayer in the book, The Valley of Vision. Some of you may know the Valley of Vision, which is this collection of Puritan prayers. And this prayer seemed to connect exactly to what Paul was saying, because it expresses the posture that we should have, the humility that we come with before the Lord. And let me just read part of this prayer to you. And it's in the section on penitence and deprecation, deprecating ourselves before the Lord. It says this, "Searcher of hearts, it is a good day to me when thou givest me a glimpse of myself. Sin is my greatest evil, but thou art my greatest good. I have cause to loathe myself and not to seek self-honor. For no one desires to commend his own dunghill." There's a paradigm shift. It reminds you of Paul when he said, "I cast away all these other things. I count them as dung because my own righteousness is nothing. I claim the righteousness of Christ." Why would you commend your own dunghill? He goes on, "My country, family, and church fare worse because of my sins. Give me grace to recall my needs, my lack of knowing thy will in Scripture, of wisdom to guide others, of daily repentance, want of which keeps thee at bay, of the spirit of prayer, having words without love, of zeal for thy glory, seeking my own ends, of thee and thy will, of love to others." So he says, my country, my family, my church are doing worse because of me. And then he confesses all these things that he lacks. He says, I lack wisdom. I lack the knowledge of your will in Scripture. I lack loving words. I lack zeal for thy glory. I lack all these things. Forgive me, Lord. And to say that my family and church are doing worse because of me is an important paradigm shift for us to consider, brothers and sisters. Often we look around and we say, this church isn't always very healthy for my spiritual growth. And I think, maybe you're the one that's causing trouble for the church. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm unhealthy for the church. Maybe I'm unhealthy for my family. The problem is you. The problem is me. And we must confess these things. And so it's easy for us to look at the problems around us, but do we look at the problems within? Do we confess with our Puritan brother, I have cause to loathe myself and no reason to seek self-honor? This is the prayer of humility. And so, brothers and sisters, as we confess our sins, let us remember that we have received all these things from the Lord, and we remain sinners before Him. We sin daily. We have no reason to be proud against one another. Let's confess this ugly pride together. Pray to our God of grace that He would send the Holy Spirit to destroy those remnants of pride, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would continue to humble us, that we would remain beggars of His grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that we have no reason to be proud. You and your abundant grace to us have given us every good thing. And yet we have foolishly claimed some of these things as our own. Forgive us for this foolish pride. Forgive us, Lord, for thinking that we are something when we are not. Forgive us for boasting, bragging, acting proudly, and in so doing, failing to love one another, and failing above all to love you. Cleanse us of all pride. Grant us true humility. Keep us in that position, like our Puritan brother who confessed that his family and church and nation suffer because of his sins. Help us to see our own sins as the biggest concern, rather than thinking proudly about ourselves. We pray that you would humble us and then exalt us by your grace, that we would not exalt ourselves. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.